The following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the Rad Rob Radio Network.
No?
I can hear you now. There we go.
I didn't do it.
There's my outro.
Oh, right on.
Hey, buddy.
All right, I didn't hear all that other shit you were just saying. Good. Are we done yet?
We haven't started. We haven't started yet.
You're fine.
Do you hate doing this show?
No.
Do you mean that?
No.
Welcome to RTW Main Event, which used to be a hard-hitting, in-depth, cutting-edge look into the world of professional wrestling. And now we basically do whatever the hell we want. So without further ado, here's your host, Radicalized Rob, Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to RTW Main Event. This is episode number 185. I am still your goddamn host, Radicalized Rob, Rob Francois. Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving. Already fucked it.
I have it written down too. I didn't even get a chance to. Oh man.
Thanksgiving is done. Man. I hope everybody had a good time. Hope you guys ate a lot.
What day was that again?
Last Thursday.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Anyway, it is Christmas season, so 'tis the season to be humble, horny, and happy. So thank you all for your support, and let's do this shit. You heard Ocho. Say hi, Ouch.
Hi, Ouch. I'm glad you had a good Thanksgiving. Actually, I don't know if you had a good Thanksgiving. Did you, Rob?
I did, actually. I ate quite a bit.
Yeah, but that's not surprising to anybody. You don't even have to say that.
No, that's fair. No, that's right. I usually eat a lot anyway.
Yeah, it was Thursday, like you said.
Yeah. How was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving is... it might have sucked, but I don't care right now because you made it by saying the word so drastically awful.
I can't fucking help it, man. I didn't even try to do it on purpose.
Proud. The pilgrims and Indians and all them other people who raped and pillaged would be proud.
By the way, thank you to everybody that supported the show on prowrestlingtees.com/RadTurtlesWrestling during the Black Friday. Oh, I can't say Black Friday. During the
you can only say it this time.
The special Friday sale that we had. So thank you, everybody. Appreciate that. It's a new shirt coming out. What else? Ocho, you only got one shirt. We got to get you.
Luigi Primo's after me, man. Like he's
at me. He's got some heat with right. You. Or you got heat with him.
And I'm like,
sorry.
I calls it like I sees it. I'm the one that blends right down the middle of everybody.
He's pissed, dude.
I'm like the mayor.
He's still pissed.
I'm nervous.
He actually created a new pizza called the Ocho. It's nothing but knives in it because you stabbed him in the back.
It's what he's apparently, but I mean, he hasn't sold it to too many people. So, I mean, putting a cease and desist because he used my name.
True. Yeah. Well, I mean, did you really copyright your name? I mean, it's your name. You can't copyright your name.
It's my name. My birth certificate's my name. Hell yeah. No one might like this unless EA Sports had to pay me when they did the, the game about Dr. Ocho where he plays doctor and whatnot. You know, it's in the game. You got to see that one. It's badass.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
I still get a royalty check of 8 cents every 2 weeks.
You ready for the top five? We actually have a top five this week. I know we didn't have one last week, and that was the worst show that we ever did.
The other order now? I thought we went back to the other way because nobody listens. I'm at the Dr. Ocho on Twitter, by the way, because we never get to that point either.
During the Roman era, thousands used to flood the Colosseum to watch two gladiators go head-to-head in a fight to the death. Now, the stakes are even higher. There can be only one top five champion.
There can be only one.
This is the RTW Top 5 Challenge.
Yes, we know, Rob. And before you say it, I actually thought of something. It just hit me right now, and I'm not sure. we know you get tingly. We know this is like, that's like your thing, man. Like every time you unplug, like you literally need a good 8 seconds to wipe your sweaty brow. Is it the music and the ambiance, or is it because they say steaks in it?
You got me.
Yeah. Oh,
steaks.
Yeah. And stupid me, it took 8 weeks to freaking come up with this because I wasn't even thinking. But like, because usually you have to think, okay, let's get his chub down or his truck, semi,
no,
whatever.
No, you're absolutely it. Right, dude. You know, you're 1,000% right on that one. So good job, man. Good deal.
Right on.
So El Barrio Maximo is here. I'm going to introduce him in just a second. But before we get to him, I got a message from Eli this week regarding his opponent. Not Eli's opponent, but Barb's opponent. Eli.
Eli's got an opponent?
No, he's, well... I mean, Jesus is his opponent, right?
I don't know. I thought Jesus was Jewish, so they should be like chummy and whatnot.
He is Jewish, but they don't believe that he's like, you know, the head guy.
I feel like a sheet should be his opponent, because don't they have to cut the hole in it and everything? And
by the way, it's Hanukkah this week, so happy Hanukkah to Eli.
Right on.
And all of our Jewish friends all around the world.
All the brethren and whatnot.
Yeah. So Eli told me about the rule from the RTW rulebook. Regarding the next opponent, which is going to be Uncle Tim. And I know what you're thinking, Ouch. He's had, you know, 6 to 8 chances already. But it's actually called the Uncle Tim rule. I mean, who fucking knew when Jimmy wrote the book, right?
Like, I wrote the book, I thought.
No, Jimmy wrote the book. Come on, don't discredit Jimmy like that, dude.
This is why Big John McCarthy doesn't get credit for the unified rules of the UFC or MMA. I'm not getting the credit I deserve because Jimmy and I freaking hunkered down before he went offshore to Sri Lanka and Nepal and all that stuff. And we hammered out this book. We had the 64 Crayola set. You knew what I wrote. You knew what he wrote. But
so like Hulk Hogan and Vince
edition that he wrote in the squid.
So like Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon, when they wrote No Holds Barred, they just locked themselves in a hotel room with a pound of Coke and just went at it. Is that what you guys did?
Mm-hmm. It was a Pepsi, but okay. Yeah, same thing.
The Uncle Tim rule, which is rule 96-A, and I quote, a challenge for the title may be made by any individual if the challenge request is accompanied by a period signed by no less than 600, maybe 800 individuals. So in the video, Uncle Tim comes out on top. He had a petition for OnlyFans subscribers to digitally sign.
Wow. Okay. I vaguely remember that, but we never thought anybody was even going to use it, let alone have it be the Uncle Tim rule.
Well, go figure. Uncle Tim found it.
Called Miscellaneous 8.8 at one. Oh, shit.
Yep. I mean, what are the odds of that?
Spoiled by my own game again.
I know. So let's introduce him first. Hailing from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, by way of Mark's mom's house. Or his wife, really. I mean, I guess it's definitely Mark's mom,
right? We just don't know who the dad is.
True. Still, don't even know. Okay. Still ongoing investigation. It is former RTW Top 5 Challenge champion and multi-time loser, Uncle Timbo. Good evening, Tim. How are you, sir?
Well, guys, I'd like to say it's great to be back, but it's not. Unfortunately, I need some gas for the Mustang. And, well, if you got friends in high places or friends that are lawyers, you can get rules modified and inserted into rule books.
Have a successful OnlyFans that you guys do. I mean, let's not discount that avenue.
Look, you don't even need to be a lawyer to do insertions on that one.
You heard about that.
Speaking of high, let's welcome our champion. He is the reigning, defending, 3-time RTW Top 5 Challenge champion, hailing from Maximal Island. It is the one and only El Champiano, El Barba Maximo. Good evening, sir.
Yes, yes, you're welcome for me being here. It is great to be of championship steals, selling out all-time top sales on the shirts over the special weekend.
Yes, thank you for purchasing 2 of your El Barba Maximo shirts right off the press. Literally, you went there and just took them off the press. I don't even know if you really paid for them.
It was at the Cece's restaurant.
Yeah.
So, of course, he took them.
But I appreciate that.
Yes, well, you're welcome.
Well done.
For me purchasing that.
Thanks. Way to sell it. All right. Tonight's topic for the top five is the top five greatest snack cakes of all time. Dr. Ocho, it is customary here on the top five that you decide
which order you would like our two participants to partake in. Who goes first?
That was the worst almost run-on sentence ever because you got so tongue-tied on participants and partake in. Six goes first.
Hang on. Eli! He's finally back in the studio. Hey, where's Six? What do you mean he's not here? Oh, that's still a thing. Six isn't here. Poor stick pill suspension. Still going on.
Still?
Yeah, yep.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
All right, well, Six goes first then. Okay, I guess you got to figure it out.
I guess you guys didn't hear the news about Shock.
Oh, yeah, where is he? He's Six, technically. Say Six.
Well, unfortunately, over the past couple of weeks, we lost him.
Well, have you stopped looking for him? Or
yeah, I mean, where is he?
Really?
Well, his Find My iPhone thing stopped working on our app, so he's gone.
Oh.
And, he was the sixth brother, so we're still six. Eight of us.
Uncle Timbo goes first, then. Look, we got to the bottom of it.
See? All right, before he does, I have a follow-up question. Do you think maybe just, there's not there's a lack of a cell phone signal in the forests of northern Ontario?
Look, we don't got time to deal with that. He's gone.
At one point he'd get a ping, even if he's trudging along, you finally get a spot where there's one bar.
At least on top of the mountain, right? I don't know what kind of shape he's in. I don't know if he can climb the top of the mountain.
You saw that?
Yep.
Getting the ping on the mountain. Yeah.
I was actually going to mention the York peppermint patty that was in that video too. You already beat me to it. So
we're also thinking about another northern series called What Would You Do for His Klondike Bar?
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Timbo, what do you have for your number five, top five, greatest snack cakes? That's hard to say. Of all time.
This American snack cake, you could describe it as a golden sponge cake with a creamy filling, kind of like how I like my women. It used to be made by Hostess Brands, and now it's currently owned by Hostess Brands, if you can believe it. During the bankruptcy proceedings, it was even produced in Canada by Vachon Incorporated, and they own the Canadian rights to it. And they're also made in Mexico called Submarinos. We haven't ventured into this film category yet, but we might soon. It's the Hostess Twinkie, if you know what I mean.
So the Vachon family owns the rights in Canada. I didn't know there were any left. Ocho, Luna's gone? The Butcher's gone?
No, but the Mad Dog, I think...
Is Mad Dog still around?
They kept his ashes.
Oh, okay.
So, left a cell in there, like a selenoid for flow.
No, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Elbarta Maximo, what do you have for your number five, top five greatest snack cakes of all time?
Well, back in 1947, someone had the genius idea to take a nice chocolate cake, fill it with cream, coat it with marshmallow frosting, and then sprinkle it with pink coconut flakes or different colors or flavors depending on the year. These are what Jacques may have out in the mountains of Canada. Snowballs.
Ocho, we have Twinkies, which apparently has changed ownership several times, but I believe the cake itself is the same. And we have we got Snowballs, which I was never a fan of. I'm not a coconut fan, but sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
I'll tell you, if they were blue on top, you wouldn't want those ones.
So there's that. Ocho, what do you got for this one?
Well, the Twinkie can survive a nuclear attack, which is well documented. Three Mile Island had a meltdown, and the Twinkies didn't, have any issues. Even the Chocodiles didn't. Nothing melted or anything. So, that was a full-on travesty. And a Snowball... on OnlyFans, they use Snowballs, but it's a different term, and it resorts to just go to season 3, episode 8 about Snowballs on OnlyFans. Mark's mom and all that noise.
Did you forget that? You forgot the address?
It's on my favorites. I barely go to it. It's on
my favorites. No, you already have it saved. No, that's fair.
You know what I mean?
That's fair. No, it's fair.
Look, guys,
I'm trying to remember a phone number.
Okay.
Either way, it's a delicious snack.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Well, there's that.
They proved it, and there's that. Tim's up 1-0 for this one. Don't fucking ring it.
Oach, that plot there with the radioactive kids in the Three Mile Island, we could probably do a video about that.
Yeah, why not?
What would you call it?
Like Walking Dead twink version.
I'm in. I mean,
right on.
This guy's got an imagination.
I'll put money into that.
They might even be in each other. We don't know.
Yeah, I'll put some money on
that. Yeah, it depends on what kills off the other, because if, you know, and what if something breaks off while the twinks are, oh, never mind. Don't want to give away the plot. 1-0.
Tim, you're up 1-0. How do you feel?
Well, I feel about as good as I could be on a podcast with you guys.
That's fair.
I feel you.
No, that's fair.
So there's that.
Uncle Timbo, what do you have for your number 4 top 5 greatest snack cakes of all time?
Snick cakes.
Well, these log-shaped jelly sponge cakes are rolled up with layers of delicious jelly and creamy filling, then topped with coconut for a sweet, indulgent snack. Prepared in Quebec, they're individually wrapped and come in packs of 6. And they're called the Vachon Billet Log.
Do they own everything? What the fuck? Do they have like a monopoly on a snack cake operation?
They got the Canadian rights to everything.
Fuck me.
They even got the rights to like Stu Hart and the Hart Dungeon.
Yeah, no, that's true. I did hear that. What are they called again? I'm sorry.
The Billet Log.
Okay.
It's like Christmas in your mouth all year round.
Oh, you saw that one,
That's what she said anyways last night.
The Billet Log is also the actual... it's actually the final waste of the holiday season when January 3rd rolls around and you eliminate all the stuff from October, November, December. That's literally called the Billet Log.
El Barba Maximo, what do you have for your number 4 top 5 greatest snack cakes of all time?
Well, this is a moist yellow cake layered with cream in the middle, covered in a white icing, and then drizzled with fudge chocolate stripes. From 67 to 91, they were known as snack cakes, S-N-A-K. And their mascot is a cool zebra with the name of Robert. These are zebra cakes.
Who the fuck would name anything Robert? That's a shitty name. I don't get it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yes, it'll probably concurs.
So we have the Billet Log. What the fuck you just said? Snack cakes?
Zebra cakes.
Zebra cakes. Oh, that's from Little Debbie. Yeah. No, those, yes. My wife likes those, actually. How come mostly everything is filled with cream?
That's going to be about 8 months from now. This video is going to take so long to make. I just got the email 2 nights ago that they're going to have one, and it's literally a demonstration of why everything is filled with cream.
We're working on a documentary. We've got a film crew.
Yeah, this is going to be a series. It's a web series.
It's called Adult Videos, Everything Filled with Cream.
So there's that.
It's a good name.
It's an 8-parter.
6 to 8? Or is it really 8?
Well, up to 8. 6 to 8. You know how it goes.
Are you going to be demonstrating like how they fill, like the making of? Like, is it going to be pulling back the fourth wall and showing how you stuff the cakes?
Yeah, we got animators from Pixar coming to show everything.
No shit. My daughter would love that.
This is going to be a big deal.
Very educational.
Netflix is probably going to buy it, I feel like. You know,
they buy everything.
Probably get more money off of that than OnlyFans, but I mean, once this gets rolling, this is going to be a hot take.
Yeah, also... That just reminded me. We also have Nutflix. It's a parody series coming up soon.
I don't get it.
Are you flicking nuts, or is it like about, you know, nut cream and whatnot? Or don't tell us. Let us find out for ourselves.
No spoilers. Who do you want to give a point to, Ocho?
Barba. Because it's very non-racist, zebra cakes. So... I feel like that's just a great answer. And the Vachons owning everything, you know, monopolizing that, you know, buying out the Hart dungeon and everything, and the Calgary Flames. You know, the Vachons are starting to get a little carried away, almost like Vince McMahon is. So, great answer. Don't get me wrong, but he's wrong. All right, cool. So Barba's tied with him. One all.
One all. Moving on to number three. Uncle Timbo, what do you have for your number three? Top five greatest snack cakes of all time.
Christ. Well, this one is a little healthier for you, as it's made with whole grain oats, molasses, and an irresistible cream filling to combine to create this classic treat. I don't know if you're aware of this, but it was actually the very first snack baked under the Little Debbie brand name. And we always make sure that they're over 18 before we indulge. It's Little Debbie's Honey Buns.
Of course I know that. I am a historian of snack cakes. I just have trouble saying the words. Ocho, are you familiar with those at all? I mean, I know you go, you're timeless and all that. You know, you go way back. Do you remember when those first came out?
You bet.
Look, anytime you got a honey over at your house, you got cakes.
Mm-hmm. And buns.
Exactly.
El Barba Maximo, what do you have for your number three top five greatest snack cakes of all time?
Well, this chocolate cake that was injected with a white cream filling and covered with chocolate icing, it is shaped like the hockey pucks. And in 1967, they were named after their advertising campaign, which featured Ocho's favorite, a ringing bell. These also go good with honey buns. They're ding-dongs.
Ocho, what are the odds that this one is honey buns and ding-dongs? I mean, you can't make this shit up.
Look, we actually had a series back in 83, and it was shove that ding-dong in the honey bun. So there's that.
I saw that on a Commodore 64. I actually got it downloaded on a 5 1/4 inch floppy disk drive. It was a floppy disk drive with the ding dongs and the honey buns.
The funny thing is that drive ain't floppy after you watch that.
No. That's a 3.5 hard drive after that. Don't ask me how it got smaller.
So that's how they came up with the name.
So what's the answer?
We have honey buns and ding dongs waiting on you to decide which answer you prefer.
I prefer both because I'm going to call them like I sees them.
It's true.
I do have to say, I'll always take a honey bun over a ding dong any day. I have not turned down neither often, though. Uncle Timbo is up 2-1. Fuck your bell.
Uncle Timbo, you have the lead once again. El Barba Maximo, are you any
fuck. Nervous?
Nope. That's not it. What's the word I'm looking for?
Championship?
No,
you excited.
No.
Be excited.
No.
Are you excited right now?
No.
We can make a video of it.
Priapism?
Are you worried about Uncle Tim being in the lead? Because I know you're not comfortable being, you know, behind.
The Barba understands your confusion and reasons for not finding word, because that is not in the Maximo vocabulary. El Barba is a confident in his top five skills and of snack namings. So
like how Fonzie can't say, Fonzie can't say wrong, you know? That's kind of like what Barba Maximo's coming with. You know, between you trying to pronounce the word snack cakes and then your freaking fumbling of the English language for the last 10 minutes, the segment could have been over an hour ago, but because you can't say snack cakes and now you can't speak, we're still on the fourth answer, I think, right? We're on the two. Number two? Somebody's number two? Because you're acting like number two right now.
Uncle Timbo, what do you have for your number two? Top five greatest snack cakes of all time.
All right, well, these cakes are made with either a chocolate or vanilla flavored cake, and they're soft and fluffy as clouds, and they have a delicate, creamy filling for a heavenly treat in your mouth. They're shaped like a semicircle, Don't confuse that with last week's video series, you know, men's with semis in a circle. Totally different. They're also made by the Vachon family, probably named after their daughter. It's the half Luna Vachon moon, the half Loon moon.
Why is everything filled with cream? Literally every answer so far, Ocho, is filled with cream. Is there a specific doctoral reason why?
This could have been about steaks, and I'm sure every answer would have been filled with cream. I mean, it's kind of like just goes with the territory of the show, I feel like. Like, maybe that's our own fault. We brought it on ourselves, or you did.
We did do the condiments one time, so I mean.
And they were all filled with cream.
Well, afterwards, they would be.
Sure.
It probably still tastes minty, though.
So there's that.
El Barba Maximo, what do you have for your number two? Top five snack cakes of all time.
Well, back in 1999, Little Debbie decided to take the walnuts off of their brownies and replace it with a candy-covered chocolate chip. And they were henceforth known as Cosmic Brownies, and they made them due to the massive popularity of Cosmic Bowling.
No cream at all?
No cream.
Wow, finally.
Brownies and candy-coated chocolate chips.
Okay. And what are they called again? I'm sorry.
They're the Cosmic Brownies.
Cosmic Brownies, and we have the Loon Moon.
They're very similar answers, really.
Yeah, I can see where you come up with that.
You got the Loon Moon. You got the Cosmic Bowling Brownie.
Plus, the Loon is also a dollar, a Canadian dollar, right? It's a coin, the Loon, Loony, right? Is that right, Tim?
Yeah, Loony. Yep, $1.
Is that so? And is it a bird there, too, or no? We don't do that?
Yeah, it's a bird. Oh. The Loon.
Right on. So a dollar is a bird in Canada. All right, right there, I'm giving Barba Maximo the answer. Because that means the Loon Moon is a dollar, and at least El Barba Maximo gave the answer of a snack cake.
Yes, yes. El Barba was also under the impression that the birds aren't real. So
there's no such thing as birds?
No, they were replaced by government drones back in the 50s.
Oh, that's a good point. That's going to be on my good, bad, and ugly later.
We're not doing that, by the way.
Nice.
It's tied 2-2.
You just made my night.
Very few times in the history of our esteemed top five competition has it come down to the final answer.
Ever, right?
Maybe one or two, six to eight.
Maybe at the most, yeah. But after, you know,
that's it.
580 shows.
Right, that's not a lot, yeah. Like the, you know, percentage of people dying from COVID. We're down to the final answer. So. No, you died? Really?
I didn't tell you?
No.
Yeah, I won't be here next week.
All right. Well, I'm sure you like him, fill in. Do the number one thing, Ouch.
No.
For Christmas. Like, can you, like, for a Christmas show, can you do it for me?
No. Yeah, what did I do?
And then I'm about to do it, and then you have to interrupt me. So let me know when you're done speaking, and I'll go into it.
No. Now hurry up, Rob.
I knew you were going to do that. There can fuck you. There can be only one.
There can be only one.
Number one. Top five. Greatest snack cakes of all time. Uncle Timbo, I know you've not been in this position that often.
You saw that movie, huh?
That's fair. I did it to myself. To redeem your name, not that you really fucking care, because you really just, I don't even know why you're here. You don't even like being on the show. But I digress. You have the chance to, Ocho, fucking, I'm not done yet. Thank you. Fuck it. What's your number one?
All right, so in 1967, these small, cylindrical, frosted, cream-filled chocolate snack cakes with a pinwheel design based on the Swiss roll were created in a San Francisco bakery. They're sold two or three per package and contain 120 calories per roll, so depending on if you're carbo-loading that day, you're good. They're manufactured by Hostess, but of course in Canada, Vachon Inc. holds the Canadian rights.
Shocker.
Although, here we market them as chocolate Swiss rolls.
Wait, so they stole the name?
You think just because you put the word chocolate before Swiss rolls, that makes it okay?
I think Swiss is what did it.
Sorry.
You know, because Switzerland and they're neutral and everything, I think that was the only way they could get around it.
Can Canada ever come up with anything original on their own?
It's just easier this way.
Oh, he's right. No, that's true.
So a nut-covered version named the Nutty was introduced in 1989. The caramel version was introduced in February 04. And the caramel chocolate ones, well, that was a new flavor introduced in May 2003. You know, the name of this is probably our most used slogan here at the Marksman Family Compound. It's the Hostess Ho-Hos.
Coincidentally, Ocho, the Nutties is the year-end award that all of the actors and actresses get from marksmom.com/onlyfans. It's their yearly award show, so there's that.
I hope I'm getting my invite this year. I didn't go last year.
Hey, you might even win for assistant creator with some of these plot lines you're coming up with.
I'd be humbled and honored. I mean, last year with COVID and everything, so I didn't even want to do the Zoom in case, because there was a lot of disease processes floating around there.
No, you can still get it through Zoom. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't even, but I'd like to participate this year because I know with all the diseases that I've been around lately, even I'm good and ready. Like I'm radioactively ready.
I think you're going to win with just your title. You came up there, humbled and on her. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Creative guy. He's such.
Honor, stay honor, get honor, all that. It's my honor.
By the way, RTW.
We could do.
Yeah, no, you could. RTW is actually sponsoring the Nutties this year. We're giving away a grand prize of 25 Denny's coupons to the winner. So that's a big deal.
What about like HPV shots or something like that? Like we can't do that in the budget, or
we get those for free here.
Oh, yeah. Canada.
Yeah, free healthcare. Shit. Yeah, and all that.
Across
yeah.
the border.
Yep.
Right on. Oh, that's right. You guys have the Vachon HPV shots. That's right. He's the manufacturer for Merck.
Just some cream just injected right into the bloodstream.
Right in there. Yeah. El Barba Maximo. To once again keep peace in or on or around Maximo Island, you need to get this one right. As a rugged...
There's no wrong answer, dummy.
You know, fucking...
There's no wrong answer. Don't put pressure on him to get it right. He needs to have a better answer is all he does. Not right or wrong. Christ, you're giving people the wrong impression, and you don't do impressions.
As a rugged veteran of the top five competition, as a multi-time champion, is it multi or multi?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
There's only one tie.
Have we had a tie on the show? I don't think we have.
Yeah, we have.
Have we? Really? Who tied?
Hurry up. It went to a sudden something.
What? Where was I? What am I doing?
Tennessee, I think. Boring the hell out of people.
Mm-hmm.
El Barba Maximo, you have the chance to once again, keep peace, to have CC's prosper, stock prices are continuing to climb, BoorDash is doing well, and you finally got rid of Radical Robert from your man cave there. Take it away, Rob.
What's your number one, Barba?
Well, the Barba's number one in personal favorite best snack cake was invented in 1961. It features a nice, moist chocolate cake injected and filled with a peanut butter cream and a chocolate icing. It is most excellent when you dip it in a nice hot cup of coffee. It is probably also the name of a video on Mark's Mom OnlyFans. It is the funny bone.
That's pretty good. Ho-hos and funny bones. Again, you can't make this shit up, Ouch.
I'll tell you,
it's not a wrong answer.
There's nothing like taking your funny bone and injecting some nut cream into a ho-ho.
Honey bun and a ding-dong.
Just waiting for somebody.
Ding-dong to inject your funny bone into a ho-ho.
Waiting for somebody to say, so there's that, but you guys missed it.
So there's that.
Well, there is that. What else would there be?
Ocho, what do you got for this one? It is a hotly contested contest?
Yes, the hotly contested contestants
I suck tonight.
Are having a
I really,
contest.
I suck. I really
and
do.
Right now, I am at a bitter wall with myself because my stars, which way do I go on this one? I mean, we got Ho-Ho's, Ocho's forte, specifically, not even generalized. We got Funny Bones, another specialty of Ocho. We know he likes peanut butter. We know what he does with peanut butter. You'll see it in about 8 months on an OnlyFans / Mark's mom. And I slashed Mark's mom that night with my Funny Bone.
Wow.
El Barba Maximo gets it with Funny Bones.
Before we get to the post-game festivities.
Nothing like that. Like, this is the most anticlimactic shit
you
ever.
Literally don't even know the fucking routine at all.
Yeah, when I announce the winner, you go...
Right. Just wait for it.
You were going on to something else. You're like, before we get to it, you were giving me the Iggy for the freaking ring announcement shit.
Before we get to the post-game festivities, Ocho.
Christ.
We have to announce the winner. Therefore, henceforth, in Fort Knot, let's go down to ringside with the official voice of RTW, Mr. Howard Sphincter.
The time of the fall, a fortnight, and once again, top five champion, El Barba Maximo, there's peace and love on his island and in his pants.
El Barba Maximo! I just love doing that. You are still the reigning, defending, three-time RTW Top 5 Challenge champion, but... You know what? No, fuck it. We're going to change it up. How do you feel after winning this one, champ?
Yeah, the Baba feels most excellent. He is a championship still again. You are off of Maximo Island. Everything is solid now. So there's that.
And my bowels aren't solid after Thanksgiving, but, what are you going to do?
Well, when you left, it was a different story.
Uncle Timbo, unfortunately, you have lost. Again, I literally don't even know how many times you've not won.
It's won.
Can you ever come back from this devastating loss?
Yeah, if I make another rule, I can.
Oh, yeah. No, he's right about that. However, you are still getting paid because that is the agreement that we have with literally the entire Marksman family. So I hope you enjoy your $245 Canadian dollars, as well as 10 Denny's coupons, 3 Waffle House coupons. What else did he give you?
3 car washes.
That's what it was. Yeah. Even though it's winter and, your car gets dirty with all the sand and salt on the road. But
The salt will just destroy the Mustang. So,
yeah.
Thanks to Eli for hooking me up with those premium car washes. He said there's a $25 value per coupon.
No, that's exactly right. So a hell of a deal you get for losing. And El Barba Maximo, as always, you get nothing. Nothing at all for winning. You get to keep the championships, and that's it.
Yes, El Barba Maximo gets to keep the peace, keep the gold, and keep living life.
I was waiting for you saw that one, eh?
Well, I'm just happy the guy gets to live. I mean, I would have felt bad if I won. Well, not really, but then he wouldn't be alive. So, So there's that.
Well, that was a fun first segment.
That was stupid.
Welcome back to RTW Main Event.
Welcome back to the second segment of the Main Event.
And I'm prepared with a good, bad, and ugly that you've never heard before, Rob. I finally, as of last week, I was like, I got to start taking this more serious. I am in. I got all my stuff in, my ducks in a row. You're going to love this. I'm really going to bring it home tonight.
Unfortunately, we're not going to have a good, bad, and ugly this week. So I have something else in mind, which I think you're going to appreciate because we've gotten into several discussions on this show about baseball and how much we love the sport of baseball. So you're really going to enjoy what I have for you. But before we get to that.
My good is Thanksgiving was really nice. And we're really not doing it?
No.
Oh, shit. No. All right. Well, send me whatever you want me to do. I guess I'll figure it out.
Eli!
Fax it over. I got the machine plugged in.
He's got it in. Yeah, fax it over. I know it never worked. I know it's always busy. But he said it's going to work. All right, he's going to send it to you right now. Before we do that, while you're in the process of receiving that in the next 6 to 8 minutes, I just want to do a little bit of cleanup from last week. Oh, you're getting it already. Wow, that's... Did we upgrade the connections?
I plugged the landline in, so it should be done in like... Good.
All right, good deal. Anyway, while you read that over and get prepared for the next segment, no RTW Rewind last week, but we did have Brad Shepard Unleashed with special guest Big Ray Hernandez from HMG. He's actually the co-creator of HMG. We talked about the fake wrestling media, as always. We actually have a new voicemail that people can call in and leave their thoughts to Brad, good, bad, or indifferent, so that was fun. There's a lot of haters out there, but there's a lot of fans too. We also covered some very, very gay things. It was a gay themed show, actually. Outro, you would really enjoy it. We talked about dicks a lot.
Okay, I would like that.
Yeah, no, I know. It's right in your wheelhouse. So
ding dongs are, but I mean, look, I know anatomy very well. I guess I got to go with that.
So you can find that every Thursday. And Ocho, since you're a generalized doctor, you know a lot of things about a lot of things. Where can they find this podcast?
Anywhere. I mean, in a microwave, you can find a podcast.
Really? Like when you're going to heat up the Thanksgiving dinner? Like,
yeah, Thanksgiving leftovers, yeah. For the eighth time. You can find it. In a house, you can find it with a mouse. Find it in a Fox and Socks book, for all I know. It's anywhere podcasts are found.
So as you see, you have the facts right in front of you. We're going to be discussing the 2022 Baseball Hall of Fame ballot.
This is a debacle list, by the way.
It really is. Hopefully we're going to keep this to 6 to 8 minutes because the top five always goes
actually,
long.
You know what? How about we just do first reaction on every person, right? Why don't we do that?
Okay. Do you want to read them off or do you want me to read them?
You're such a great host. You've been killing it.
Yeah, because I suck.
Now you got a chance to redeem yourself now that no one's listening. So relax. No one's listening anymore.
Bobby Abreu.
So then I go reaction wise?
Yes.
Okay, home run derby winner, and then it ruined his swing, basically. Got traded to the Yankees, never had a big hit. Solid player, no, not a chance.
I agree.
But screw the stats, by the way, because yeah, we know, stats. You know, stats the 3,000 hits, the 500 home runs, like we know all that shit.
Dude, Pete Rose isn't in. Come on. Come on.
There you go.
Barry Bonds.
And you're not going to say anything, though? Or
no, I agree with you. That's all you have to say about it.
Cheer.
You're the analyst. So I'm going to say if I agree with you or not.
I'll color it. I got you.
That's right.
Okay. Barry Bonds' head grew how many sizes bigger due to the freaking cream in the clear?
Yeah.
Didn't need to cheat. Mm-mm. However, cheated. Mm-hmm. Maybe it helped with him healing.
Recovery.
You know, he always said this, you know, because again, he played till he was, what, 42?
Yeah, but he always had a fantastic swing.
Of course, absolutely. Short, compact. Again, he would have hit 500 home runs, no doubt in my mind, because he hit 30-something as a Pirate, I think, 28, drove in a ton of runs, MVPs. Now, he said steroids will not help you hit a baseball. He's right. He could hit a baseball regardless. Steroids make a 280-foot pop-out become a 340-foot home run.
Right.
Your reflexes are better. And again, in September, the dog days of September, 162 games a year, man, it's a drag. You're tired. And when you're on the sauce, you're working better. You're a better machine. It's called a performance enhancer. Now, I say he should be in, honestly.
If they're all on it, why shouldn't they be in, right? I mean,
yeah, they didn't test everybody, but you can pretty much assume all of your top guys were doing the same thing.
Folk that got in and made it and maybe didn't partake the way they did, but they, I know. I almost wish they just wouldn't test and just back the fences up like 40 feet. I don't freaking know.
I used to disagree. Like, I used to think he's a scumbag, he's a cheater, he shouldn't be in. But again, we have to assume that everybody was fucking doing it.
Everybody else was freaking hitting it.
So if you go by that assumption, yeah, he should be absolutely, he's in. He's a home run king. Now, how do we know that Hank Aaron didn't take some form of steroid back then? Just because it wasn't a talked about thing. I mean, it was obviously hush hush for years. How do we know that he wasn't fucking juicing?
Honestly, because after that much time and the exercise regime was different, you would have noticed. You'd have been able to tell. But look, Barry Bonds did it. But you could see he was a skinny little guy.
Right.
Just because he was 24. Look, when he grew, when he was actually like 30 to 36. That don't happen, especially when you're playing 162 games a year, breaking your body down.
True.
Hank Aaron didn't take anything. These guys freaking had to work in the freaking winter sometimes.
I just want to throw it out there because I knew you.
No, but I mean, look, was he tested for? I mean, look, Hank Aaron might have been on as many greenies as anybody was. That's what they used to take to the amphetamines, man. Yeah. Like,
there was no testing back then.
No, they had them in bowls. They were literally called greenies. They'd pop a few. You drink a mug of Joe all the way up, I want to say, to the mid-90s. From the 60s to the mid-90s,
yeah.
Greenies were the freaking thing. Dog days of summer, but you have that in a mug of Joe, and boom, you're ready to go. So could have helped him. Performance enhancers, very loose.
Mark Burley.
No.
No.
Mark Burley had a 10-year run, which... Yeah. Great pitcher, but no, it's stupid.
Roger Clemens.
Of course. Put him in.
No doubt. Why isn't he? At one point, he was the fucking greatest pitcher, you know, in the game for, you know, 5 or 6 years on the Sox.
Yep. He had I think, a bad year for Boston, and then he wins two Cy Youngs in Toronto, back to back. And then he... You know, he gets starting to hit a little bit in the American League, and then he goes to the freaking Astros and throws. The guy's got the numbers to back it up. He's been there for 28 years-ish.
So we know the people that vote on this are very catty. They remember shit over the years. They didn't want Jim Rison for how many years because they didn't like him?
He didn't want to talk to the media for a few years. Eddie Murray, shit.
Nomar was the same way, too.
He didn't talk to the freaking media, and he had a rough time getting in. And that guy, legit, 500 home runs, 3,000 hits. You know, he's got, and he's a switch hitter. He's one of like two switch hitters to have all those stats.
Should they change up who votes? Like, don't just get rid of the old guard, the old writers.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I almost feel like, wouldn't it be better if the peers or coaches voted?
Yeah.
Much like Little League is, you know, like, why do the writers get such stock? Because they're little weaselly people. Not all of them. Some of them are, though. You rub them the wrong way, and boom, you're written off. Why? Who the hell are you? You couldn't do it, so you write about it.
Yep. Wow, all right. I mean, Clemens should have been a long time ago.
Agreed.
Carl Crawford.
6-year run.
Yeah. I don't even know why he's on the ballot.
I think they just whoever's eligible. You still got to make eligibility.
That's so true. What's the criteria for him?
Retired for 5 years. Yeah, no, wait a second. That's what I'm thinking. Can't just say it's 5 years. Okay, it's time. You're eligible.
I mean, there's no doubt he's a great player, but he is such a fucking bitch. He didn't like playing in Boston. Like, he's just a head case.
He was a good clutch hitter. He had, again, I feel like he had a 6-8-year run. No pun intended.
Right. Prince Fielder.
Again, same thing. I mean, his numbers don't back. I mean, his body broke down because he got so damn fat, I think.
Yep.
But good for 6-7 years, got himself a big contract. That's what a lot of these guys did. And, you know, they're set for life. Good for them.
His dad was better than he was.
I totally agree.
Todd Helton.
Now, that guy, he was the best hitter in the game for a few years. But he played in Colorado, too, right? Wasn't that his whole
deal? But does that deserve being enshrined forever in a Hall of Fame? Nah. You know what I mean? Like, who the fuck? If we're gonna let him in, we gotta let fucking Clemens and the rest of them in, right?
It doesn't mean he deserves to be in, but like, I almost feel like I take Don Mattingly in this instance. He doesn't have the numbers because again, his body broke down. But for 6 years, he was fantastic. The best player in the game.
True.
had an MVP, should have been another one, because there's no way Clemens should have won the MVP over Mattingly, especially that following year when he freaking wins the batting title, no less. And oh no, he didn't win the batting title in 87. He almost won the triple crown. Clemens did win the Cy Young. So again, but I guess most valuable for your team, you know, the Yankees finished in third, Boston finished in first. So, and went to the World Series in 86. So I guess that's what their criteria was. But I take that into consideration. And Todd Helton, maybe for 4 years, was one of the best players in the game. But no.
I agree. Ryan Howard.
Another guy, big bat. Just no, not 10-year big bat.
No. Tim Hudson.
Tim Hudson. Because I feel like he had two careers. Like he had like the with the A's, he was an ace.
He was great, yeah.
And then he learned how to pitch. I don't know enough about it. Like he hunkered down in Atlanta for so many years.
Like, you know his name, right? Like, you know, oh, that guy's a great pitcher. Like, but
he was so unnoticeable, right? Though, right?
Like, yeah.
He didn't win any Cy Youngs. He didn't really. He might have finished in the top when he was with Oakland back in like 99-00-ish, but nah, I don't know. That's a tough one. I'd have to that one. You'd almost have to look at the stats, because yeah, if the stats are there, they do it. He didn't have 300 wins though, so fuck him.
Torrey Hunter. Great in World Series, right? 92, yeah. 93, or whatever it was. But
he wasn't 92, for Christ's sakes. He wasn't in the freaking World Series. 93, Torrey Hunter? Who are you talking about?
Wasn't he on the Twins in 93?
93, the Blue Jays. Are the freaking Blue Jays beat the freaking Phillies. Are you thinking of 03?
No. Atlanta lost to Toronto and Minnesota.
91.
Oh, 91. No. I'm sorry. 91.
Torrey Hunter. Kirby Puckett was their center
fielder. Kirby Puckett. See, I get those two confused. They both look alike.
Oh, my God. No, they don't.
Sorry, my bad.
Kirby Puckett's dead. Yeah, that is your bad. There, we do have a bad.
Oh, Torrey Hunter's the one that went upside down in the Poppy home run. His fucking legs were hanging up in the air, and the fucking cop had his hands up in the air. That's Torrey Hunter. Yes. I don't know why I thought he was older than that, but
he had a good. No, he had. He was always good in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which they rarely made, but then he went to California or went to the Angels, I think. Maybe they're quiet stats, but I don't know. I don't see it.
Andrew Jones.
Mm.
Solid player for the Braves.
And then for a couple teams. Played for the Yankees 1 year, too.
Yep.
No.
Jeff Kent.
Wow, another guy who was 10 years rock solid. He bounced around, though, right?
Yeah,
Giants, did. Mets, yep. Somethings and whatnot. No, not long enough.
Tim Lincecum.
No. Could have been. I mean, Could've been.
Yeah.
Started off like, what do you have, two Cy Youngs in a few years, I think, and
that was it.
The freak.
Justin Morneau.
A lot of freaking, he played for the Twins, right? There's a lot of Twins on here.
A lot of Twins.
I don't know. Again, seems like it's nothing rings a bell with him.
Other than he was good for a few years, right? I mean, he was hot for a couple of years, and then he just cooled off. Minnesota fans are probably like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, freaking Bang and Dang are going to be pissed. Wait, that's Michigan. Never mind.
Joe Nathan.
Closer, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yep, nothing pops out. No.
I agree.
Maybe I'm a dick.
David Ortiz. Now, before you answer, I know what you're going to say.
I don't care what his stats are. I don't care what his stats are.
Agreed. But they don't let DHs in. They just don't.
Edgar Martinez is in, isn't he?
I think there's a very few. There's a small amount of DHs in the Hall of Fame.
Because
historically, they don't.
Just shut it down.
He's just a hitter. He doesn't play the field. You know what I mean? Like,
he's just a hitter. Just the best clutch hitter
ever.
Of all time.
Ever, yeah.
Of all time.
Yep.
What did he bat? 680 1 year? Like, literally, like, was it 2013 or something after he had a down year? Like, it might not have been 680. I might be exaggerating, but it was literally, I thought it was over 500.
In one
World Series.
In the World Series, but not for a season. I was like,
no, of course not.
You definitely beat, you would shatter Ted Williams' record.
I forgot to say that part. You know what I mean? Clutch is World Series, playoffs, big home runs.
The Sox never, I don't care if pitching wins championship, defense, whatever.
They never would have won in 04 and 07 and fucking not 11 anything. Or whatever. Without him, they wouldn't have done it.
I mean, how bad is Minnesota kicking themselves?
Right? The fuck me, dude. Got to be in. And I'm not just saying because he's a Red. I mean, I'm a diehard Red Sox fan. He has to get in. Like, he is a first ballot.
I'm a Yankee fan, and I say he gets in.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
First ballot, no fucking question. Like, head of the class. Jonathan Papelbon.
Jonathan Papelbon.
Not long enough, right?
Wow, he's out of the game already. Yeah,
he was unhittable for a few years.
Again, 5 years, 6 years. Almost like Eric Gagne. Remember, he set like the saves record and everything.
Yep.
Like 80 straight without, and then nothing. Like, the hard to do, I guess, for a while.
He started out as a starter, but wasn't very good. Found his niche as a closer. And arguably, he was the best in the game for at least four years.
3 or 4 years.
Yeah. But I don't know if not long enough. Not enough to me to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't care how good he was at one point.
No, I don't think so either.
Jake Peavy. Another guy that I thought about when we were talking about Tim Hudson. Just one of those guys like, oh, yeah, he was in Chicago for a while. You always heard about him. Decent pitcher. But, again, didn't wow anybody.
Yeah, he was like I'm thinking like King Felix Hernandez. Like that guy for, again, 10 years was a Cy Young Award contestant. This Peavy was, you know, a top five, I think, for 2 years, 3 years. But
I don't think of like
a hired gun at one point.
Yeah, I don't think of all time greats, you know, when you think of his name. It just doesn't jump off my head. He's not a Martinez, you know, he's not.
Right. Yeah. There's no dominant. That's exactly it. That's right. It's these, you know, and I guess I wish the criteria would be more of how did they dominate for.
Right.
I know the numbers are important, but like having a 2 year run. Okay, good. But if you got an 8-9 year run. Okay, you're in.
I would say he's solid. Like he's you know, he's a Glavin.
Oh, solid.
Well, I mean, maybe not as good as
without
Glavin.
Without the freaking 300 wins.
That's fair. Yeah, no, I agree. Good, but not great. Like, not one of the all-time greats.
And my next answer will prove it, I guess, that the criteria, I guess, is pretty damn hard.
Andy Pettit.
No. He was
beloved.
A great, durable pitcher.
Beloved by everybody.
And a clutch guy in the playoffs. Again, he was he was a stopper, a known stopper, especially in the playoffs. Didn't have the best stats.
He was a Sox killer.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was. Like, he won the big game. But he was never dominant. I hate to say it. You could rely on him.
He was reliable. Matthew was
dominant.
He was old, reliable. Was
dominant at times. But which again, that should be enough to get in. With I guess that's when the stats come into play. So, but no, I don't think. How many wins does he have? You go. You move on. And I just want to look at
AJ Pierzynski.
No.
No. God. No. Not even close. Decent catcher, but I mean, like, I don't. He wasn't as good as fucking, goddamn, who's the guy who went to the Mets? Mustache, good-looking guy.
Andy Pettit's got 256 wins, and I still say no.
Yeah. Who's the fucking catcher that went from, was it Kansas City to the Mets?
When?
I can't remember his fucking name. He's big. Big guy, goatee.
Mike Piazza?
Yes, Piazza.
It wasn't Kansas City. It was the Dodgers, you bozo.
Dodgers. Eh, same fucking difference. They're blue. I was thinking blue and white. Sorry. I don't think of Pierzynski as like...
No, God.
You know, on that level.
Now, you know, what's funny is like as a catcher, Piazza sucked, but...
As a hitter, he's fucking fantastic.
But he caught, and he was a freaking dominant player.
Yeah. This one, I don't understand.
Think about it. Think about it. Like, did they ever pitch around some of these? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Did they have to pitch around it? Like, that, I guess some of the shit is almost self-explanatory. AJ Pierzynski never got pitched around. You know, like Piazza, you don't want to throw anything to him. You hit him in the head like Clemens did.
In my opinion, Jason Veritek should be on the ballot based on how great of a fucking catcher he was in calling
a game.
One of the best ever.
And what's the problem is none of that's in the stat book.
Nope. He hit fucking
it's
250
like,
career hitter.
Except against the Yankees, he hit like freaking 800.
But in my opinion, one of the greatest catchers to ever call the fucking game. Really. He just knew he studied like nobody else. But again, he's never going to be on the ballot, which is unfortunate. This one, I don't understand why he's not in. Manny Ramirez.
Makes no sense.
Dominant his entire career.
Yep.
Entire career.
Even in Cleveland, yes. As an idiot.
Yes.
But again, I guess just his whole being an idiot. I don't know.
When him and Poppy were back-to-back, nobody wanted to face them.
Stupid. It was stupid.
There's probably never been a 1-2 combination like that, or 3-4, you know.
And that frees up your leadoff, your second guy, yeah. Your fifth guy, and sixth guy.
You got Damon leading off, which
seventh guy now.
Damon was good at that time, right? Then you had
those two in the lineup with all that protection. Those guys are seeing ridiculous pitches.
You had Damon, then you had Pedroia, then you had Poppy and Manny, or Manny and Poppy. It was just fucking stupid.
Trot Nixon was numbers with those idiots in the freaking lineup.
True. Yep. And AJ Drew was pretty good during that time, too. And
Doug Mankiewicz, Kevin Millar.
Millar.
This gas house gang.
I know, dude. Why isn't Manny in? Because of the alleged steroids? Or nobody likes him because he's an asshole?
I don't know. We're going to get to the next crew because that's about where we're at this point.
Well, A-Rod's a fucking asshole. He's next. Fuck him. I don't think he ever gets in because he's an asshole. That's just my opinion. I hate him.
He knows his baseball. He's very good at baseball, and he's one of the best athletes to ever do it.
But I want to punch him in the face a lot.
All right. Well, he should be in. Way to be objective.
Scott Rolen.
Not the longevity. Good player for the Phillies, I think, for a while, but just, did all right. What's with the italicized? Is that people who have been on before?
I have no idea.
Are first new? Year, it says. First year is the italicized.
Jimmy, don't call me Seth Rollins.
I don't think anybody would ever call him Seth. And no, again,
I don't even know who he is. Rolen,
basically.
I have no idea who he is, by the way.
He's a player.
Okay. Bloody Sock. Kurt Schilling.
I don't know that he's got the wins, but yes. And he'll never get in for his political views, ever.
No, never.
The hell was that?
It's like Fox Sports alert. My bad. I'm holding the phone up so I can read the ballot. My bad.
I thought maybe like I said something that was like I won a prize, like a Daily Double or some shit.
I'd hit the bell, but never mind. Schilling dominant for the Phillies, dominant for Arizona, dominant for the Red Sox.
Co-MVP of the World Series, got the Phillies to the World Series in 93.
Yeah.
Brought the Sox to the World Series in 04.
One with Arizona as well.
Game one, then wins game freaking seven.
Yep, I agree. Gary Sheffield. This is a touchy one with me. I never liked him because, Yankee. But didn't he play in the Mets as well?
The Yankees for only a couple years. These guys should be in. He's another one. They don't like him because he was ornery. But this guy was a freaking complete hitter.
He's a beast.
Potential triple crown threat every year.
Yeah.
Left everything out on the field. Swung as hard as he could. Just a true athlete, really. And he played that year for the Yankees with a torn freaking labrum. He used to have to catch the ball by his ear because he couldn't raise his arm over his head like me.
Right. Sammy Sosa.
Of course.
Really?
I get it, but of course he should be in.
He sucked for many years.
Until he got on the sauce, and then he freaking...
Then he fucking beat
set
up.
Records, and it's funny. You know, the whole strike year, and...
Is McGuire in, by the way? I'm sorry, Mark?
No.
Then why isn't he on the ballot?
Because he's off by now. I think you only get, five years or something?
No, is it really? Is that true?
I think... I might have made that up.
You might have made it up. I think there is a limit, but I don't think it's 5 years.
Wait, he's been out of the league for freaking how many years? Even if it's 10 years, it's probably overdue.
Long goddamn time, but I mean, Sammy's not young either. But anyway, we all remember that fucking home run race between him and McGuire.
That's my point. It's captivating, right? You know, everybody says that saved baseball. 1998, baseball was saved. And now you want to throw these things to the curb.
Selig was in on it. We all know that. He fucking knew what was going on.
The fact that the government got involved was the biggest fucking cornhole of it all.
I agree.
Why did that even happen? Like, they're not a...
They're private.
Their owner.
Private business.
What the fuck?
Yeah, right.
So what was funny was they do this whole... Sammy Sosa, who speaks pretty good English, like very good English, has lived in America for the last 30 years of his life in mansions around freaking plenty of English-speaking folk. And they ask him a question, and he's like, que yo no sé, yo no, and he's like, ask the interpreter, place freaking so dumb. SNL did a bit where Kenan Thompson was Sammy Sosa, And then he, like, they put the thing down, and he's like, man, I need some weed in here. As soon as he's like, oh, we're done? Okay. Where are the white women at now?
It's funny you mention that,
because not me.
Ichiro did the same thing. For years, people thought because he was Japanese that he didn't speak English. They actually had him mic'd up. They had him mic'd up for a game, and he's on second base talking to the fucking second baseman like you and I. Perfect fucking English. Yes. He was just fucking with people.
Not having to deal with the media.
He didn't have to deal with the media ever. Fucking genius. Like, that's so good, dude. That's so good. Mark Teixeira.
I think, I don't know his stats. Switch hitter. Was dominant for a handful of teams. The Braves, the Angels, the Rangers, the Yankees.
Yeah, I think of the Rangers when I think of him, like when he was really, really good. But did he do it long enough? I don't know what his stats are.
I don't know. I feel like he's got like 12 or 13 years that he might be close. He might be on the fence, and I don't know. That's probably one where they will look at the stats and say, all right, he's got – fucking, you know, he's, again, being a switch hitter, you kind of like get bumped up a little bit.
True. Maybe we can revisit this in a couple weeks once we know their stats, like some of the iffies. Omar Vizquel, I think a fantastic defender, but I don't think of him as a threat, you know, a hitting threat.
I think longevity might be his thing.
He played for a long fucking time. Yeah.
That might be, I got to see something.
While you're looking at that, we'll put the final name up. Billy Wagner.
Billy Wagner. No. Was dominant for, again, not, 6-7 years.
Not long enough. I agree. No, I agree. But then people are going to say, well, who the fuck gets in then? Like, you know, Pedro pitched for 20 years. But
Mariano got in. He was the...
True.
Omar Vizquel, I think he gets in. I think that could be.
Okay.
It's like a will of wheat class help because you know, Schilling ain't getting in.
No.
So all the other guys that we said should be in aren't getting in. So maybe Vizquel gets in. They can't not bring someone in, right?
So this is actually Roger Clemens' final year. He is underlined. So Bonds, Clemens, Schilling, and Sosa. It's their final year. I just noticed that. So that sucks for them, dude.
There's going to be something in like 20 years when they're all dead and they're going to be like, okay, we're going to let them in now.
Posthumously, like, yeah. So, I mean, that means Rose.
They have their own wing, like the freaking, and it's going to be a needle or something like that.
So if Rose was never on the ballot, technically he could get on next year and have, like, you know, be able to be on for like 15, 20 years, right?
I thought they did put him on, though.
Did they really? I don't know if they did or not. I don't know if they, I'm just spitballing that. But
no, I'm pretty sure they did.
Just so he can't get voted in. Just never eligible ever again.
It's just awful.
Yeah, I can't. If Clemens, especially, like, if you want to take steroids out of it, Schilling and Roger should be in. Roger himself should be in. And it's going to be it's a fucking travesty if he doesn't make it, dude. He was 21-3 one year, wasn't he? Like 21-7? Fucking ridiculous record.
Clemens, he was 87 like
or 88.
I'm talking about even for the Yankees, he won like his first 20 games.
He had a few 20 win seasons. And Bonds, yeah, I mean, the all-time home run hitter. What are you going to do? I mean, it's sucks for those guys if they don't get in this year. Let's just say out of the four that are in their final year, Clemens, Bonds, Schilling, and Sosa, and we'll wrap it up after this. Pick two out of four that you definitely think should be in.
Dude, I mean, Schilling, because he's facing a different stigma.
Right.
That's
a tough one, isn't it?
That's all because they're all the same. It's all the same. They
should be. They all should be.
Bonds, Clemens, and Schilling, even though you said pick two.
And I don't think Sosa should be in. That's just my opinion. Like, if I had to throw somebody off the island, it'd be Sosa.
I'll pull him off. I would pull him off if that was the case.
That's fair. Okay. Good talk, buddy. That's really, really good stuff. I knew you would enjoy that because you're a big baseball fan.
Who said I enjoyed it?
Last segment. We're on a roll, Oj.
Oh, fuck. I thought we were done. Fuck.
Welcome back to RTW Main Event.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of this week's episode of the Main Event. It is time. He's back this week. Dude, hold on. Before we get started, I've been racking my brain. So Polly was on this show well before you. Polly was on my show pretty much since the very beginning. Since 2000... 18, 19? I don't know when the fuck I started this shit. It's a long time ago. He was phoning it in for the last, you know, 6 to 8 weeks of his stay here. Still is actually currently under contract. Like Vince McMahon, if you're out while you're injured or whatever, you still got to make up the rest of your days that's left in your contract. Like, his contract is frozen right now whenever he left. He still has to make up that time.
Put him on the back end, basically.
Yeah. But he was still here every week. This positive guy, well, trust me, I like him a lot more than Polly. Just shows up whenever he wants, like Eli. And I don't know why I keep putting up with it. But that just kind of, you know, sticks in my craw.
Craw.
That's a Boston term.
It's time for everybody's favorite segment.
His people are completely literal. Metaphors are going to go over his head.
Nothing goes over my head. My reflexes are too fast. I would catch it.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Here's...
Well, me.
With...
The intellect of the week.
He didn't fall? Inconceivable!
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Well, hello, friends. I'd like to welcome y'all back to what I like to call the intellect of the week, hosted by, well, me. And of course, first of all, I want to go ahead and thank the great, great people from this podcast, the great, 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 great Dr. Ocho, just a fine, fine doctor, I'm sure. And of course, the greatest podcaster I've ever heard, the radicalized Rob, and of course, my good, great friend Eli, who gave me this opportunity. But enough about that. Let's go ahead and start with the Intellect of the Week segment hosted by, well, me. And of course, this week, I want to go ahead and give it to the great, great Eli, who basically covered for me last week. Very smart cookie, but by not necessarily blaming anybody, because gosh darn it, it was my fault, but he was very, very professional and didn't blame anybody whenever radicalized Rob had called up on him and asked where I was. And of course, my apologies again. Thanksgiving was coming up, and you know, I had to do some stuff and things, But yes, the intellect of the week has to be my good great friend Eli, who not only gave me this opportunity but covered for me, and he did it in a very, very sneaky manner where he didn't necessarily point fingers but we went on, and of course I apologize for last weekend, but that'll do it again this week, and of course I want to thank the great, great people of this podcast, like the great, great, great Dr. Ocho, just a fine, fine doctor, I'm sure, and of course the stupendous radicalized Rob, and of course my good, great friend Eli, who gave me this opportunity, and tune in again next week, friends.
I think he's getting better every week. Like, he doesn't sound as nervous as he used to be. Yeah, yeah.
It's palpable. I can feel it bleeding through.
Great speaker.
Voice and fluctuation is on point.
And it was very quiet in the background, too.
It's always been.
He's really an upgrade compared to
Polly. This guy's got a professional sound system, it sounds like.
What do you agree with what he said about Eli? I mean,
I've yet to disagree with the guy, I feel like. I mean, he's always on point. He's always very, very, you know, probably goes over a lot of idiots' heads because the intellect and whatnot, but... I'm on point. I think he's nailing it.
Oh, you saw that one, eh?
Thank you for listening to this edition of RTW Main Event. You can follow the show on Twitter at RTW Brand. Follow Red Rob at Rad Rob Gaming. And follow the Ocho
at the DR Ocho.
We appreciate all of your support. You've been listening to RTW Main Event. Right here on the Rad Rob Radio Network.